Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by Harvey Norman, the experts in soundbars, making it easier than ever before to find the right solution.
Hopefully 3 hours of entertainment coming your way, a bit of sport, a bit of life, and maybe a few gags as well. We've got some nice guests coming up. David Hayes, who's set to take the horse racing industry by storm once again today, looking to win his sixth blue diamond. Greg Rust, as always, to talk things motorsport. Jess Fox, Olympic silver medalist. She's coming in from a chat for the Collingwood Football Club. Jordan DeGoey and Duck is going to run us through his players that he believes the competition is going to be torn apart by this year. So much to get through. We've got a bit of space for the great man as well to chat all things football more. Good morning, Ducky boy.
Good morning, Howie. Good morning, listeners. Beautiful morning in Melbourne once again, Howie.
Yeah, it looks like a nice weekend. I'm just having a look at the Herald Sun at the moment. Gaz wants to be back as the number one player in the comp. Is he going to get there, Duck?
Yeah. Well, he was the number one player for so long, and we actually spoke about that exact topic 2 nights ago on AFL.com. And look, Cameron Ling said he believes he'll get back to number one, and I wouldn't doubt. You don't ride off a champion, and he's a champion.
You were number one at one stage, then you went away. Did your coach pump you up to try and get you back to number one, Duck?
You're an idiot.
Come on. Come on.
We're talking off air.
And what were we saying?
And no.
Because the off air stuff's always better than the on air stuff on this show.
I remember after I had a shoulder reconstruction, Dennis sent me back then it was no DVDs, it was a VHS tape, and gave it to me, and it was highlights of myself with the song Get Back to Where You Once Belong by the Beatles.
So you sat there and watched your own highlights, did you?
Well, yeah, he wanted me to.
And did it work for you?
Well, I got back.
To number one?
If you're any good, Howie, people will tell you. You don't have to tell them.
Did you get back to number one?
Well, what do you mean?
Just a yes or a no?
History will tell you yes.
It was always coming. Next, we're talking footy with the number one who got back to where he belongs. Duck, a big day today at Caulfield. Blue Diamond Stakes Day. Super Saturday is coming up as well, so there's a lot to look forward to. But today, we're about to introduce a man, Duck. You know a lot more about horse racing than I, but when you have a look at a trainer that's won.
Not lately, I don't.
No, well, we've both been away from the track, it'll be fair to say.
Yes.
But this fella, he's won a Melbourne Cup, a couple of Cox Plates, 3 Australian Cups, a Japan Cup, and 5 Blue Diamond Stakes himself.
Just 5 lazy Blue
just
Diamonds.
Just 5. His name is David Hayes. He's on the line. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Do you wake up excited on a day like today? It's a treat to talk to you.
Yes, when Group 1 races, let alone the Blue Diamonds, are on and you've got genuine chances, you get out of bed with a spring in your step.
Well, David, you've got 3 in the Blue Diamond today. Which one's the best chance?
Good question. Probably the filly, Zam Zam. I think Blinker's first time. She's very similar to Rima, who nearly won it last year. I would say at the each way value her.
And as you said, Blinker's on for the first time and only cost a lazy $920,000 over Easter.
Yeah, if you win today, it's money back. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But not many of these million-dollar horses are financial successes on the track. But the great thing with this added money in the Blue Diamond, it gives her a chance for these expensive horses to get their money back.
And what about the Australian Cup? Obviously, not too far away. You've got Risque, who's won last 3 starts.
Yeah, look, she's a star from New Zealand that proved to form here last week. She mightn't go towards the Australian Cup, but the two to watch out of their racing today for my chances are he or she.
Yep.
And Rising Romance. They're both trying to do what Extra Zero and Spillway did last year by Cronulla-ing it. So I think we're in pretty good shape there.
Dave, what about the knowledge my man Duck's bringing to the table? He sounds like the accurate one, Bill Collins, at the moment.
I tell you what, Bill Collins couldn't have done that.
Yes.
Yeah, almost as good as he played.
He's prepared. And that, that doesn't happen regularly. Now, David, winning the big events. I'm going to go a little bit more general for you. Winning the big events. I take you back to 1994, and I'd gone on a surf trip down the coast, and we'd spent too much money in the night before in the pub in the Melbourne Cup, and we were trying to figure out how to get enough money together to pay for petrol on the way home. And I had my first ever bet on a horse, and it was Jeune, and it won the Melbourne Cup, and we had enough money to get home. Do you love it when punters come up to you with stories about how they've backed your horses and they've won, especially on big events like that?
Yeah, you get your good, happy punters and you get some sad punters sometimes. So it's a real, you're either a punter or you're not. And sometimes an event like that will turn you into a punter for life. But I just feel that if you've got a horse, you own it, and you get a chance to back it and it wins, it really, just see the excitement that people have. It's just fantastic to be part of it.
Hey, David, I was at a function yesterday. Danny O'Brien was there. And as we know, he set up down at Barwon Heads, not far from the water. And he believes in the ocean, the great healer. Are you a believer in, you know, putting your horses in the ocean for recovery a lot, as Danny is?
Look, I don't personally do it because I have water walkers and swimming pools and your row is a long way from the ocean.
Yep.
But everyone that does it speaks very highly of it. And it's a natural way. And all the football clubs follow it, don't they?
I didn't like it, David. I didn't like it. I remember, I don't think the horses would like it either on a cold on a cold winter morning.
But the lovely thing is they can't tell you.
No, exactly right.
Our duck was going beautifully. And then he threw the ocean question into you. I did know that you trained at Euroa. She's a fair trip down, duck.
Okay, hang on.
Isn't it, Guru?
That's why you have floats, Howie.
Oh, is that right?
Well, you can take the horse down there.
Is that what they go in the water in the floats, or that's how they get down there?
That's how they get down there, you nimrod. Doesn't Howie turn a good interview into just a farcical situation?
Hey, Dave, before we let you go, how do you know? You get brought a young horse, someone's bought it, and they give it to you to take care of. How do you look at a horse and know this horse has potential?
It's probably looking at like walking down the street and looking at people and trying to predict if he'd be a sportsman or, you know, an athlete. Look, sometimes you get total surprises and you get the freaks, like a Better Loosen Up I train. He looked like Daisy the cow and was a freak. But normally they look like athletes and they are athletes. And occasionally you'll get a horse that looks like an athlete and he's a cream puff. But normally it's their look and the way they walk.
And exactly, is that exactly what you saw in Zam Zam?
Zam Zam's just a really outstanding individual with a huge, she's really well bred.
Yep.
And being by Reader's Choice out of a great family, and she's a good looking filly. So look, it's the biggest pressure she's been under today, but hopefully, with a pedigree, she might step up.
Dave, hopefully you can knock off your sixth Blue Diamond Stakes. That's today at Caulfield. And then Super Saturday, March 12 at Flemington. Amazing food, wine, quality racing. Get your tickets at Ticketek. Best of luck over the next few weeks. We appreciate your time and we hope we ask some reasonably intelligent questions at some point, David.
Thanks, Dave.
9 out of 10, fellas.
Good Thanks, on you, David. Man. David Hayes joining us, legendary trainer on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Duck 2016, it is an Olympic year. There is nothing better than the Olympics for mine, the pinnacle of sport. And we're about to introduce a young lady who in her first Olympics as a 17-year-old won a silver medal in the K1. She's a world champ in the slalom. And just last Friday, a week and a half ago, qualified for her second Olympics. Congratulations to Jessica Fox, who joins us on the line now. Hello, Jess.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful to speak to you. Congratulations. Your second Olympics. It must have been a wonderful afternoon for you two Fridays ago to know that all your training had paid off and you were set to now peak later in the year for Rio.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was definitely an exciting weekend. We had the selection trial finish up at the Oceania Championships and I finalised my selection and it was, definitely a really sweet moment and a lot of relief because it's a really brutal selection process for us. There's only one woman can represent Australia at the Olympics in our sport. So, obviously, you know, had to put it all out on the line and race your best. And when that all happens, it's a relief. And now we can look towards Rio and start planning and start the hard training.
Jess, would I be correct in saying that, I don't know where I read it or saw it on TV somewhere, that you actually had to compete against your sister to get into the Olympic team. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. So my youngest sister, Noemi, she's 18 and she's been racing really well the last couple of months. And we were also up against Ros Lawrence and Ali Burrows. And in the end, it came down to Ros Lawrence and myself. So it was a really tight race. But Noemi raced really well and she actually qualified for the senior team. So she's going to be racing some World Cups later on in the year with me. And it'll be really cool to be roomies with my sister and be on the start line against her as well.
Well, the Foxes are on fire, no doubt about that, Duck. you've got a long lineage in your family. Your dad, Richard, competed in a similar event to you for Great Britain in the 92 Games. And your mum, Miriam, she won a bronze medal in 96, or have I got that wrong?
Yeah, no, that's right. So she won a bronze medal in 96, and Dad says he's still, he hasn't won an Olympic medal yet, but yeah, he's still keeping, you know, his hopes high.
So good on him. So this is obviously how you got into the sport. How old were you when they first threw you into a canoe or a kayak?
I was about 6 months old when I first sat in a kayak for a picture, I think, for a newspaper or something. But I didn't really, well, my parents put me in a kayak when we were younger. We'd take them on holidays and that sort of thing. But I really didn't enjoy it. I didn't like it that much. It was kind of lame to do what your parents did back in the day. But I had, when I was about 11 or 12, I broke my arm and my physio said that I should do some kayaking again as rehab because it would strengthen it up again. And I, yeah, made some good friends at the club. And the World Championships were held in Penrith that year in 2005. So seeing all those elite athletes there kind of sparked the fire in me.
Hey, Jess, it looks like a lot of fun. Mm. I mean, it's a sport that I think should get a lot more coverage because it seriously does. And there's a little bit of danger involved too when you sort of get flipped around and sort of underwater and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, there's a few different elements to our sport, I guess. It's an outdoor sport. We're up against, you know, the whitewater rapids, the weather, there's rocks underwater. You've got to be able to really stay aware and adapt to the situation, and not so much on man-made courses. So in Penrith Whitewater, we've got an artificial course that was built for the 2000 Olympics. So we know that's a pretty safe environment. But I do remember my first few times, you know, the first year I was paddling here, there was always that fear that, you know, am I going to flip over? Am I going to get back up? Am I going to swim? But with all that training that we do, you know, you do build up more confidence. And I do love going to new venues, new rivers around the world and feeling that little bit of fear that, you know, reminds me of my early days. Well, because, you know, it takes me back to the beginning of the sport.
Well, I tell you what, Jess, I don't know whether you've been to the Zambezi
River.
Oh,
Vic Falls.
I went down the Zambezi on a boogie board with a helmet on. Would you like to do that?
Yeah, I didn't know you could do that.
It was
were there crocodiles and hippos?
It was unbelievably good fun, and that's why I love your sport. It looks like so much fun, and it was. I mean, the dimension, and there were crocodiles, but unfortunately, well, fortunately, the crocodiles don't like the rapids. So you get into the boat when you come to the flat area, but through the rapids, it was just a ball.
Oh, that sounds incredible. Yeah, I'd definitely love to do that. Maybe we can, you know, I'll take you down Penrith, you take me to the Zambezi.
Hey, Jess, the last thing you want to do is go to Zambezi with a duck. Let me assure you right now, beautiful part of the world, duck's not the man to lead you to it. Let me tell you right now, it'll be a Sergio Garcia incident and the alligators or crocodiles will get you. Now, Jess, talking about the rapids, what's the course like in Rio? Obviously, there's been a lot of discussion about some of the water events, the open swim, the sailing, about the quality of water. Is that an issue for your sport or not?
No, it's not actually, because we're in Deodoro and they've actually built the complex, the White Water Centre. So it's got its own lake. So the water is treated and it's very clean. It's, you know, you can see straight to the bottom of the channel. And
no crocodiles?
Yeah, no crocodiles. Good. No, I mean, maybe there'll be some mosquitoes, but we'll see. Hopefully, yeah, it's a great venue. I went there in November to see what it was like, and I really enjoyed paddling there. So I'm definitely looking forward to getting back on the water and learning everything I can about it.
Hey, Jess, we really appreciate your time. And from everyone here, and no doubt all around Australia, you'll get a lot of over the next few months, but may all your dreams come true in Rio and you're able to achieve whatever you're setting out to do, Jess.
Good on you, Jess. I'll be tuning
in. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Jessica Fox off to the Olympics, where she won't be trying to avoid crocodiles, duck. But good luck to her. A silver medal as a 17-year-old.
I know, silver. And you know what? It is amazing. You know what I love about this show? We get to chat to people like Jessica. And then from now on,
you're on it.
I will follow her career now, and I'll make sure that when the canoeing's on, I'll be right there supporting her all the way. It's great. And she sounded like a lovely young lady.
A great night last night down at the Cattery. The Pies got over Geelong by 8 points. It was all about Paddy Dangerfield for Geelong fans, but Collingwood fans happy to see their young players doing well. One of those is Jordan De Goey, and this is what his coach had to say about him after the game.
He's had a really big pre-season. He's obviously got a lot of class. He had his midfield stints late last year, but mainly played as a sort of high forward. But he just can't deny him that midfield time. He's he's really strong in the contest. He's spreading and understanding transition better. Just has a knack of finding the ball. And you know, I think he'll continue to build. He's a young man with high expectations of himself, and it's only his second year, but we're expecting to have an impact straight away.
And Jordan DeGoey joins us on the line now for the first time on Dead Set Legends. Hello, Jordan.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Yeah, what's Very it like well. To sit there on the other end of the phone and listen to your coach talk about you? Must be a bit bizarre, young man.
Yeah, it is. It's always good to hear stuff like that. It's reassuring, that's for sure. But, yeah, I just still got to focus. There's a lot of stuff I need to improve on yet. So,
Jordan, in your second year, he said you've had a really good pre-season. What's been the differences between this year and last year? Obviously, a little bit more confidence going in, but you must be happy with the way you played last night.
Yeah, last night was good. I think it was a step in the right direction. It's probably my fitness was the main thing that I managed to improve over the break and coming into the pre-season. So just to have that a high base level of fitness really makes it more easier for me to cover the ground and obviously get into better positions.
And clearly he wants you to play more in the midfield. You've had some pretty good teachers in there. He said you're a bit of a ball magnet yourself. You go in, you get it. He said you're understanding transition a lot better. You've had the great Dane Swan. You've got Pendlebury and these guys that you've learnt off. Who do you think you most like out of those two?
I don't know. It's a tough one, to be honest. Maybe a mix between both. If I can be half the player there, I'll be pretty happy. But, yeah, obviously, like you said, they're both fantastic players. And it's just great to get advice off them and get feedback, which is the best part about it.
Geordie, a couple of talking points last night. I saw a bit of the first quarter and then a bit of the third quarter. And the big boy from America, Mason Cox, he was just sort of leaning over the top of Harry Taylor, just plucking them. Man, there's a bit of excitement, I would have thought.
Yeah, for sure. It's always good to see Coco take those big pack marks and use his strengths. As you can see, when he muscled Harry Taylor out of the way there, it was pretty impressive. But, you know, he's been playing and training really well, so it's just been a credit to him about all the hard work he's been putting in.
Who are the main guys you see going through the middle of the ground? You've got such depth. You've picked up Treloar. He obviously didn't play. You've got Aish. You've got Sidebottom. We know that Swan can play in there. I mentioned Pendlebury yourself. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, even Elliot at times, I'm sure, will come up and have little stints on the ball. You've got some real depth through the middle of the ground now.
Yeah, no, obviously, especially with the new interchange cap, the more people that can go through the midfield, the easier it's going to be and the more drive we're going to have. So I think that's just another string to our bow.
I left out Greenwood there too, who also missed a lot of last year with an injury. How do you see the ruck situation at the club? I thought Grundy bounced back quite well last year as he had a really good pre-season, and obviously Big Witsy as well. Do you think you will play two ruckmen? There's been a lot of talk, the fact that less interchange. You know, a lot of clubs might only play the one ruckman with maybe a key forward pinch hitting in the ruck every now and then.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, to be honest. Their ruck battle's pretty much been going all year, just trying to one-up each other, I guess. But it's good competition for each other, and I'm not sure. I think it'll just depend on the opposition, to be honest. We think we need another tall forward that can maybe outnumber them or create a mismatch. That's probably when we're going to use the double ruck. But, yeah, you'd have to ask Buxton, I think.
All right, Geordie. I think we've talked enough serious football stuff. We don't like to get too bogged down in this show. I'm just having a look at young Jordan's Twitter page. Mm-hmm. Jordan DeGoey, number two, and his little line is, "A country boy with a heart of gold." I like that, Geordie. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
If you don't mind saying so yourself.
Where did you grow up, etc.? Tell us a bit about yourself away from footy, Jordan.
No, the funny thing is, actually, I'm not from the country, so...
Oh, good one!
A few porky pies on there.
Yeah, mate, yeah, just having a bit of a lie there. But no, I grew up in Glen Iris pretty much, so played for Ashburton Redbacks and then went to the Chargers, so I'm still living at home with mum and dad, so I like this area a lot.
I'm going to give you a tip, Jordan. Stay at home with mum and dad for as long as you can. Get the washing on and the cooking done. Save plenty of money. Move out at about 32.
Yeah, I think that's the plan, to be honest. Mum's pretty good like that with me. She does all my washing, makes my bed for me, cooks me dinner. So Can't complain, that's for sure.
You won't find anyone else to do all those things, I can assure you right now. Now, I'm looking back at your Twitter page. You've got 16 people you're following. You're following the coach, you're following the captain, you're following the football club. You might need to expand there a little bit, but disappointingly at this stage, 309 followers. So, at Geordie DeGo, you need to pump that up a bit, I would have thought, Geordie.
Yeah, no, I actually don't go on Twitter too much, but it did go crazy after last night. But, yeah, thanks for the plug there, boys.
That's all right. Well, you went on it last night. How good? Hashtag NAB Challenge. So I think you might need to work on what you're putting out there a little bit as well.
Yeah, I reckon I might have to update a few things here and there, maybe change my bio, but still got some work to do.
Now, Geordie, before we let you go, if you weren't going to be an AFL footballer, what would you be doing in life?
I'd probably be a plumber, to be honest.
A plumber?
I wasn't the smartest kid at school, so something like that would do me good.
Well, they earn plenty of coin.
Exactly.
You know, plumbers.
I think you're going all right, too, for a country boy that's not from the country. We appreciate your time, Jordan. Hopefully we can chat to you during the year.
Good luck, mate.
Cheers. Thanks for having me, guys.
Geordie DeGo from the Collingwood Football Club. Seems like a nice young man.
Lovely Ducker. Young man.
And I think it was very good advice.
And can play.
Okay, Duck, we've been talking throughout the show, and you said you've come in today and you want to talk positively about footy and the young blokes in the competition who are set to take the competition by storm, players who are set to go from good players to explode, so we want to go and watch these young blokes play. You've got five for us.
I have, and look, there's so many young players, I reckon, that are about to have really big years, some in their second year, some in their third year, some that haven't been playing footy for that long. Throw in a couple of names before I get to my five that I've picked. Blixarves is a best and fairest winner now at Geelong, but I reckon he's going to go to a whole new level this year. I think he's a superstar. I think Tom Lynch from Gold Coast, I think he's a captain, a ready-made captain for Gold Coast. He'll be their next captain.
Gee, you must have a good top five if Tom Lynch is not in it.
Bontempelli is another one who I just think, could do really special things. A guy who we spoke to not long ago, DeGoey. As Nathan Buckley said, he's going to be getting more time through the middle of the ground. We might see DeGoey do some really special some special stuff for the Pies. But number five for me, I've got Jack Martin. We haven't really seen Jack Martin play for Gold Coast. He's had a lot of injuries. He's highly, highly talented. I just think that he's ready to really grab the AFL competition by the scruff of the neck.
Skinny operator.
Yes, he is. One of his teammates, Jager O'Meara, I'm going at number four. Obviously, injuries last year, but he's a ready-made footballer. He's apparently had a really good pre-season. Our reports that he wants to come home, but I think that he'll only ramp his price right through the roof with a massive year for the Gold Coast. At number three, I've gone the package, Jakey Stringer.
Wow.
He is a superstar, played really well the other night, kicked three. Spent a little bit more time through the midfield, so I think he's a gun.
Where's his perfect position, Duck? Because he seems to be able to do it all everywhere.
I think he's a half forward push up onto the ball. Exactly what they're doing with him. I've got number two. Might surprise a few from West Coast. Elliot Yeo. This kid can play
and can
he's a
jump.
Star, can jump really good above his head. He's got a bit of Nat Fyfe about him, this kid, and I think with a really good year under his belt like he had last year, I reckon he's ready to launch and take even bigger leaps. And at number one...
Your number one player in the competition is set to explode.
Really explode. Now, this guy's certainly shown us some explosions. He's been a young gun, but I think he might take it to a whole new level. Ollie Wines from Port Adelaide. He is a superstar in the making. I mean, they've got young guys like Wingard, but he was already All-Australian, so he's already taken the competition. I reckon Ollie Wines is another. But you could write out a list of, another 10 or 15, but they're the main guys that I think are about to jump to that next level, All-Australian type level. Jack Martin's obviously a little bit different, but I reckon all of those other guys could be All-Australians.
I like it. Port Adelaide top four this year or not?
Top four, not prepared to go top four. I think they'll make the eight.
So you think they'll come back stronger after their concerns last year. What Absolutely. About the Bulldogs? You talked about Bontempelli just out of that. You've got Stringer in there. Will Stringer suffer much from the loss of Stewie Cramery beside him? And can the Dogs continue that momentum or will they stall?
They can. And remember, they've got a guy by the name of Tom Boyd sitting there in the waiting. I think Tom's a better player than what a lot of people think at this early stage. Obviously getting paid. I think he's the highest paid Bulldog this year, so they'll hope that he... And the fans want to see him automatically be a superstar. I thought what he did last year, didn't play a lot of senior footy, but what he did in the reserve, he competes. He never gets outmarked. I think you'll see him play a lot more this year, and I think we'll see his talents on show. I think he can play the kid, so I'm looking forward to that. But in terms of the Bulldogs, they've just got so many exciting players. Cramery will be a loss, albeit he wasn't really there in the first half of last year. Mm. It was only in the second half that he came good, started to play some good footy. But it does take the pressure off Stringer. But if Boyd comes in, then that's another big guy up there that takes the pressure off also.
Can they squeeze in the top four, the Dogs, or just beyond them?
Oh, well, I think they proved last year that they were around the mark, but expectations and pressure will be a lot.
Exciting to watch, aren't they?
Will clubs allow them to play that exciting footy? Well, they couldn't stop it last year, so let's hope they continue with that style. They're another one of about 12 teams that I think can make the top eight.
Okay, nicely done, Ducky. So it is all about, who'd you name number one? Ollie Wines. And the Port Adelaide Football Club set to explode and start to dominate the competition. FIFA, Ducky.
Yes.
A new El Presidente by the name of Gianni Infantino voted in with their scrupulous voting style that they've done.
What's her name?
His name is Gianni Infantino. And this is what Gianni had to say overnight.
And we will restore the image of FIFA and the respect of FIFA. And everyone in the world will applaud us and will applaud all of you for what we'll do in FIFA in the future. We have to be proud of FIFA and everyone has to be proud of FIFA and we have to be proud of what we will do together.
You've got a very, very, very big job, Gianni. That's all I can say. The superstar from Fox Sports. He knows more about football and tennis, etc. than anyone on the planet, but he's on for football today. Is Adam Peacock. Hello, Coco.
Morning, boys. How are we?
Very good.
Big job, your man, Gianni.
My man?
Yes, it's your man. You backed him.
I didn't back anyone.
We voted for the Bahrainian, did we not, the Aussies?
No, we voted for Prince Ali, the Fresh Prince of Ali,
right,
who is a Jordanian chap. And he was the guy who initially went pretty heavy on Sepp Blatter when Sepp was trying to hang on for dear life, like King Mufasa's brother in Lion King when he fell off the cliff there. And that's what's happened to Sepp, unfortunately. So... yeah, Prince Ali, we backed him, but he didn't get anywhere near it. The Italian-Swiss, Infantino, fantastic name, first of all.
Mm.
If you're going to put yourself up, you may as well have a good name, and he's certainly done it.
It's funny, I work with an Infantino right here every Saturday morning. Okay.
So what's it all mean, though? What's this?
What's going to be different?
Yeah.
Mate, it, in all honesty, who knows? In 18 months' time, we might have a clearer picture, but that joint is an absolute cesspool. At the moment, it's an absolute mess. Everyone who's involved in football at a level such as professional level here, for instance, in Australia or grassroots, you're not affected by it, so it doesn't really concern you. But that stuff last night was basically like the Republican debate yesterday in America. It's all these promises and rhetoric and blah 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 blah. Let's see it in action. And let's judge in 18 months' time if this guy can really clean this joint up. Because, as you said at the top, Howie, he's got one hell of a job.
Mm. Did you say Cess or Sepp-pool?
Yeah, both. One in the same meeting, double meeting. There.
You should have laughed at that because that's his first joke in 38 shows, Adam, and you didn't even laugh. Now, listen. Listen, I was excited about watching the Chinese mob, Shanghai SIPG, and the man on 23 million, Asamoah Gyan, or however you pronounce his name, the man from Ghana.
Gyan.
Well, I thought they were going to produce a bit, but they got rolled 2-1, and the boy on 750, Besap Berisha, scored the penalty. It's a big win for the victory.
Magnificent night. Can't be underestimated what they did. I mean, as you mentioned there, Asamoah Gyan on to about 23 mil. Aussie a year, which equates to the base salary cap for all 10 clubs per year combined for the A-League. So that's what we're up against. We're just up against the behemoth of cash and resources, and it's all because the Chinese president turned around and said, I like football, so all the rich guys in China have gone beauty, we'll get all tax breaks if we pour it into football, which is what is happening. So we can ride along with it and have these magnificent nights where these big paid, highly paid guys, and this is just the start of it, you're going to get some Premier League stars going there in 2 to 3 years. So it's going to be good for us. We get to see him up close and hopefully beat him like we did the other night. Melbourne victory, magnificent performance, and they'll try and back it up tonight against Sydney.
I was going to say, does that help the victory, the fact that they've got a massive game tonight against Sydney?
Oh, yeah. You'd know it, Wayne, being involved in results where you thought it was a 50-50 proposition, huge game. You get the result for next week. How confident are you?
It'll
certainly help Melbourne victory tonight. And they didn't need to travel. They play Sydney FC, who are straight off the plane from Japan, and they got bounced 2-0 the other night.
Adam, since we spoke to you, obviously this whole thing about the flares has blown up, etc. And I know football people have very strong views on it. And Duck put it to me last week. I put it to Duck that it wasn't fair that the football club, in this case Victory, or the couple of weeks before, the Wanderers, be penalised for what their fans were going or had been doing. And Duck put it to me that you could go and watch Victory and put on, if you're a Melbourne Heart supporter or Melbourne City as they are now, you put on a Victory top, you go and stand with their crew, let off a flare, and they lose 3 points. And it was tongue-in-cheek, but it seems to me something needs to be done, Adam, but penalising the club, penalising Archie Thompson, penalising Kevin Muscat, I'm not sure that's the way forward.
Yeah, it seems harsh on the face of it, and I kind of agree along those, I was trying to work it out as well at the time, and I was thinking, well, what's the best way? And the more I came back to it, it was like, well, what other option do they have? And
yeah.
Basically, what the example they've got to make, and hopefully these nimwits have finally realised it.
Nimwits? A combination nimwit. Of Nimrod and Dimwit. I like
it. Exactly. It's a new one for you. You can use it anytime you want.
You're a nimwit.
But don't you think it's too easy for an opposition supporter to put on a Guernsey of, you know, Melbourne Victory and then they lose points? I mean, it's pretty easy. Make it a police issue, and that is, if you're caught with a flare or let off a flare, you do 6 months, or, you know, make it really strong.
Yeah, I was thinking the only way around it would be to penalise them as you do a streaker, $5,500 or whatever it is for getting across the pitch. The point is that they find these guys who light the flare, so they ban them. They find out who they support. It's very easy. I mean, these guys aren't exactly rocket scientists. I mean, they'll be all over Facebook and Twitter, and they've social. It'd take two clicks of a button to find out who they really support. So I think the big thing is to get the fans to realise that they are not bigger than the club. They are hurting their own, the reason they are at a football stadium, if they go and do stupid stuff like this. And, yeah, there are consequences for others, but there was very few other options available for the FFA, so I can't really blame them in the end.
Put the guilty party in a room with Kevin Muscat and tell him that you just lost 3 points for his club. See how that goes. Hey, what's on tonight? How many games you show? The other night you had, there was about 18 games in the Premier League and you were showing 19 of them.
Yeah, exactly. We actually played a game in the green room and put that on. The green room's where it's at, actually, with some of the stories from M. Bosnia.
Correct.
But we can't go into those right now because it's a family hour. Tonight we've got two great games. We've got Adelaide and Brisbane, 2v3 in the A-League, and then we've got that match between Melbourne Victory and Sydney FC at Amy Park. Later on there's some Premier League. We're not sticking around for that, I don't think. We're showing the games because we've got a hectic schedule next week. I think on Thursday morning we're doing 8 games at once. Next Saturday night, the North London Derby, and mixed in all of this is the Champions League and also A-League. So it's busy times.
We're out of time. One word answer. Will we ever see Tim Cahill play in the A-League? Yes or no?
Yes.
Good man. You're a star, Adam. We appreciate your time. We love your work on Fox Sports.
Adam. Cheers, guys. Have a good one.
Say good day to Gianni Infantino for us as well. That was Adam Peacock, star of Fox Sports. Extraordinary news in the ad break. Hyth has not seen any of the Rocky movies.
I know.
Our man that pushes the buttons has not seen any of the Rocky movies.
You're kidding yourself, Hyth.
Where have you been?
I work hard. I'm here prepping for the show.
You do yourself a favour. Talking about movies, you can't beat Happy Gilmore. And one of the classic scenes in it involves the great one-handed golfer, Chubbs Peterson. This is how it goes down.
Damned alligator bit my hand off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, tournament down in Florida. I hooked my ball in the rough down by the lake. Damned alligator just popped up. Cut me down in my prime.
I like
that
it.
And how that conversation came up is that actor was Apollo Creed.
He was.
Rocky.
Which gets us to, I was watching the golf late, couldn't sleep the other night, the first round of the Honda Classic, which, by the way, is now up to round two. Adam Scott going really, really nicely at the moment. He is 5 under for the tournament, 3 shots behind Ricky Fowler. Sergio Garcia is currently lying third. So I'm watching the golf. He hits it just onto the edge of the water. Honda Classic.
Yep.
In Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Can take a drop. And then this happens.
Well, Sergio Garcia has driven the ball left of the fairway into the hazard, the lateral hazard that runs the length of the hole. The ball is kind of half in, half out of the water. It's half submerged, and it's a shot he can play if he elects to, but he told me he's concerned about a gator that is behind those trees to his back. He saw one over there, so he's a little concerned about its proximity.
It's a double hazard. Has one eye on the golf ball and one eye on the gator. Look at him checking that out, Roger.
But he's looking around.
Where's that gator, he's thinking.
That's right. Where's the music from Jaws? We need that, right? Dun, 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 dun.
Okay.
Could have turned on national live television into Chubbs Peterson.
They actually, that was quite well called, except for the dun 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 dun. The music wasn't great, but
he was in the background.
I know. I've seen the vision of it. Obviously, we can't show it on radio, but it's
obviously.
Have a look at it. No, but have a look at it, and it is quite. He does. He's literally sort of looking around, rolled the pants up. It was a good shot too.
It gained
80, 90 metres out of the water.
It was. So next time you're in Florida and you get the option of a drop, I would take the drop every time. Kerry Duck, about to introduce the great man Greg Rust for all the latest motorsport news thanks to HSV's Gen F Runout. But before I do, big motorsport award ceremony on Sunday, I think it was last week. Basically the equivalent of the Oscars, the CAMS, the Confederation of Australian Motorsport Awards. Our man took out Best Motorsport Story of the Year with a little exclusive he did on Marcus Ambrose.
Well, we only have the best on here.
Exactly. He joins us now. Congratulations, Rusty.
Thank you very much, Howie. Very, very nice. Thanks, Duck. Yeah, it was chuffed. Yeah, absolutely chuffed.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed with your speech where you said...
He gives you a rap and then just bang.
You said, I quote, which I read in the paper, "It's an honour to receive this, but I couldn't have done it without my entire V8 supercar team. It's your award, Rusty. You don't have to hand it off to those clowns at V8 supercars as well, you know."
I didn't thank you two boys, hey, for the motivation, for the guidance, for the drive.
Well, that was my next question, was where was the mention to the boys from Dead Set Legends who gave you your start pretty much in this industry?
Well, the hype will be having a word to me about that separately.
My word, he will. Now, listen, we're off to Adelaide next week. You'll be there, I'll be there, which will be great fun. Alongside yourself, you'll be there with the V8 supercars. You do a great job, and Channel 10 will be on it as well. What are we going to see? Chaz Mostert, saw him doing an amazing promotion this week with helicopters flying around his car. He looked chipper. He said all the right things. Is he going to be right to go?
136 days, Howie, since he was in that car, since the big crash at Bathurst. And you're right, I mean, fantastic sort of return for him. Third quickest at the test at Winton this week, and it was busy up there. It was a hot day up there. His teammate with the new number one, Mark Winterbottom, was fastest. And interestingly, Scafie, one of the greats of the sport, has urged Chaz just to not rush this. I know he's eager to get back in the car and to do well. I think you'll surprise a lot of people. It was a very, very solid hit out his return. But Scafie's just warned him, you know, a little bit of caution. Hey, just make sure you're 100% on top of that injury. As we go here.
Yeah, I think it's really good advice. And to play the devil's advocate role, Rusty, Winton, as you and I both know, beautiful part of Victoria, lovely place to visit, no concrete walls, nothing like what you're going to get at Bathurst or what you're going to get next week at Adelaide.
And Adelaide is brutal. I mean, it'll be a huge test for Craig Lowndes. They've already talked about modifying one of the safety support devices that they use around their neck, what they call the hands device, just because of his injury from earlier in the year. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be a big test for those guys, for Chaz as well. But, I mean, everything we've seen so far, Howie, points to a very excited, very determined 23-year-old who cannot wait to go racing again and close off what he hoped, you know, what he didn't get a chance to do last year when he crashed out at Bathurst.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Absolutely. And let's hope you two behave yourself next week, because Howie's going to be over in Adelaide, and I'll be keeping a close eye.
A night out on the town with Rusty, all you do is talk about brake wear, tyres. Like, you go to sleep during your entree, ducky boy. It's horrific.
Well, onto the F1s. Now, testing has begun. The teams have unveiled their cars. Will Ricciardo be competitive this season?
Question.
Yeah, Duck. I mean, I was lucky enough to catch up with him over summer at an event in WA, and he said, "Mate, I won't talk it up." He said, "There's a lot we need from this engine package. The car that Red Bull have built looks very good. It's been there or thereabouts during the week, but the weak link is still the Renault engine. So apparently there's more things coming forward as the season goes on. Hopefully it does give them last year he had no pole positions and no race wins, but there were podiums along the way for Dan. Let's hope it's a better year and maybe a couple of victories if they can get the grunt out of it.
The Ferrari looks quick thruster too. I see Vettel was testing extremely well, was beating the Mercedes at various times, which means our man Kimi might be in the mix as well. What do you think? So who's going to take pole at Albert Park?
I think Mercedes still, Howie.
1-2?
The Ferrari was fastest on three of the 4 days, but it's very hard to tell what people were up to. And the genuine feeling is that Merck, that they were pounding around in testing with what looks like a very good car and not completely showing their hand. So I think that'll still be the car to beat.
You had a chat with Kimi after testing during the week?
I don't want to talk about this. I just want to get on with the racing that catch up in Melbourne with my very, very good friends, Doc and the Howie. You know the Howie?
Yeah.
He's off and they're doing the surfing down at the Bells. The Bells Beach.
Can't wait to see you, Kimmy. Howie's in fits of laughter here. Thanks, Kimmy. Hey, Jack, you ran into Jack Miller this week. How's the leg coming along? He had some testing, obviously, at Phillip Island.
He's really happy, Duck. Basically, the bike they ran at Phillip Island is the 2015 machine. So to be 0.8 off the mark and not on the full-spec new bike yet, and the injury didn't really worry him at all. He said he's feeling good. He had a minor fall on the final day of the testing in the changeable weather, but he said, mate, it was nothing. I'm feeling really, really good about it. So continuing the recovery, and when he gets that new bike, hopefully it's even better.
Hey, just quickly on Jack, we know that obviously he's coming back from his injury, but does he fall more than others? Does he fall a lot?
I think what you could say is with some of the young, I mean, he's made a massive step here, Duck. He went from the first tier. There are kind of like three tiers of the Bike World Championship. He came from the first tier, jumped straight to MotoGP after being successful in what's called Moto3. So it's a massive jump. He's an aggressive young rider. That'll table, you know, they'll temper that as he goes here. But, you know, he's an eager kid and wants to prove a point. He's got a bucket load of talent. There's no doubt about that.
Hey, Rusty, tell Duck the last young Aussie that used to fall off his motorbike a lot.
Well, if you look over time, Harry, I know you've got a specific example in mind here, but if you look over time, there's been plenty of them. Our guys, many of them come through dirt track racing. There's lots of them racing at Phillip Island this weekend in World Superbikes and the like. I mean, they breed them for this stuff. They know how to ride them, and if they have a fall, fingers crossed they don't injure themselves, but typically they get back on and get going again.
Rusty's been kind. Casey Stoner fell off a lot and became an absolute superstar. Yeah. Hey, Rusty, you made me laugh as always. Thanks for bringing Kimmy to the table. And also, mate, in all seriousness, congratulations on your winning
the
Cams.
Rusty.
A great job, as always, by you. And we'll speak to you next week, maybe live from Adelaide in the studio together.
Cheers, brothers.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Duck, our new favourite segment, tell us your good news. Give us a call, 133353. That's 133353. Tell us your good news. You'll be in the running to win. In fact, you could well win tickets to Super Saturday, March 12 at Flemington. Amazing food and wine. Yeah, you get some VIP tickets and get to hang out with Campbell Brown at the Triple M Lounge as well, which would be very nice.
That'd be fun. That'd be entertaining too.
We'll end up on the front page of the paper with Brownie at the races, I would have thought. So give us a call, 133353. Tell us your good news. Doesn't matter what it may be. We've got Dave on the line. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good, Dave.
First time caller.
Oh, that's good, Dave. That's nice to hear. Now tell us your good news, Big Dave.
Just got me members cap and polo for Dingaroos for 2016, so I got my membership all complete.
Good on you, Dave. I tell you, are we a chance this year? I talked about it on AFL.com the last couple of nights. I reckon we bat deeper this year than we ever have before. A lot of depth. Do you think we're a chance of winning it?
Mate, I'd love to see it. We've done pretty well over the years, and I've got no complaints about the Kangaroos whatsoever. They're a bloody good side, and they always give us what we needed.
Good on you, Dave.
Good on you, Dave. Hang around, mate. We'll sort you out some tickets to go to Super Saturday. That is great good news. All right, Daz is on the line. Hello, Daz.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Very good,
brother. Tell us your good news, Daz.
Good news is, mate, that we're playing the last game of the cricket for the round, and then we've got the finals next week, boys. So getting pumped up for that.
Who are you playing for, Daz?
The Basin.
And what, and batter, bowler, fielder?
I'll probably be a fielder this year, boys, I reckon.
Yeah.
Hey, good luck in finals, Dave. Have a great time. We appreciate it.
Darren.
Daz, thanks, mate. Michelle's on the line. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, how you going?
Hi, Michelle.
Tell us your good news.
My granddaughter fell off the monkey bars in prep. And they thought that she may need an operation, stick a wire in her wrist, but they didn't need to do it. They just needed to plaster, and everything's going to be good.
Well, that's good. That's good news, but bad news. The monkey bars.
Obsessed.
I'd love to know how many kids break something on monkey bars every year.
My six-year-old is obsessed with
it. Thousands and thousands. But that's good news.
What's her name, Michelle?
Harmony.
Listen, give Harmony our best, Michelle. We appreciate you ringing up. Tell her to be careful on the monkey bars.
And you can get two tickets to Super Saturday next week.
So hang around, Michelle. We'll sort that out. That is good news. And hopefully little Harmony is okay and she'll be listening. Chelsea's on the line. Hello, Chelsea.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, Chelsea. Well, Chelsea. Tell us your good news.
I am married with, well, was married, two kids, now divorced, and at age 30, I went on my first date on Wednesday night.
Oh, now this is good news, Chelsea.
That's great news. How did it go, Chelsea?
Tell us about
it. It was lovely. He was a gentleman. He actually came and picked me up, took me out for dinner, and dropped me home.
Where did he take you? Somewhere nice?
He did indeed. We just went out in Yarraville and it was lovely.
Oh, well, that is fantastic news.
Was he, because Duck's very big on cologne, was he wearing a nice cologne, Chelsea?
He was, and it wasn't overpowering either.
Well, that's probably the mistake I make, Chelsea. I tell you what, Chelsea, if it was that good a date, you've got two tickets to Super Saturday, March 12, and amazing food and wine and all of that, because from the sounds of things, there's going to be a second one. So good stuff.
Him along.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by Harvey Norman, the experts in soundbars, making it easier than ever before to find the right solution.